right, howlers, let's get howling. But first, a couple quick warnings. First warning, this podcast contains adult content.
Don't be a pixie.
Second warning, this podcast contains spoilers for the entire Red Rising saga.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, email howlerpod@gmail.com, TikTok @howlerpodofficial, Instagram @howlerpod, same as Facebook. And call us. You guys say the number.
1-800-516-1540.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah.
And rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then you're not a domina. So.
And you're not gold. Yeah.
And you're not staying gold.
And now, Howler Pod. Hello, Howlers. Welcome to Howlapod, your podcast for all things Red Rising, where every episode we dive deep to break down, celebrate, and discuss all aspects of the fantastic Red Rising saga by Howler number one, Pierce Brown.
Ow, ow.
I am your host, Ben Reinert. I am joined today, as always, by the amazing Aaron Ayers.
Hello, Howlers.
Aaron, what are we doing today?
Today, we're wrapping up our Prime 25 with a Howler mailbag.
Nice. Got a lot of nice emails and voicemails to
Thank
listen
you.
To today. So thanks for everybody that sent those in to us.
We love to hear from you guys.
Well,
then we're not alone in the universe.
What is that from?
Seussical the Musical.
Oh, okay.
I think...
I hope so.
That felt right.
Don't copyright claim us on YouTube. Okay. Let's jump into the Howler mailbag.
Let's do it. First up, who do we have?
Our first voicemail is from our Howler friend Madeline.
Nice.
It's a wild one.
Strap into your star shell and shoot straight into this voicemail.
I hope I don't shit my suit.
Oh, we used to say that.
Holy shit. I can't believe that I even got through. Hello, Howlers. My name's Madeline. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm just going to fangirl out on this podcast right now. Aaron and Ben, you guys are fucking awesome. I have never laughed so hard at a podcast, and I am so excited that you guys are finally back. Like, I've been waiting for this since whenever. You took your hiatus. Just the way the podcast is put together, like Cassie's little tidbits, she's amazing. The guests that you guys have on, the musical artists, like I can't get enough of it. I'm kind of a shit howler because I haven't been able to spread the gospel. Nobody wants to read the fucking books in my circle. I keep pushing them on people. I'm like, you gotta read this shit. It's the best. It's so amazing. And everybody's like, oh, space, and they're not into it. Aaron, I love how you're always singing. It just makes my heart happy, and I'm so glad you guys are back, and I can't wait for Red God. I'm not super intellectual and into, like, oh, fuck, this is a drunk voicemail. That's how I got the balls to call in. But, yeah, it's just... sublime, chef's kiss, best shit, right up there with Pierce's writing, like just the perfect complement to the books is this podcast. I got to give a shout out to my friend Toots Moss, Taylor Moss, who shared the gospel of Red Rising with me. And I was just like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And the first book just like totally grabbed me. And I got on the train late, like, I think all the books that have been published before I started reading them, but I just devoured them and I loved it. And I devoured the podcast and just keep doing what you guys are doing and keep repping KCMO. Thanks, Howlers. Howler out. Oh,
I love it.
Madeline, that was incredible.
Howling to the left. I also like how we like force everyone to howl at the end of everything. You have to do it. Madeline, it sounds like you need a new circle. Like, yeah, maybe you should go to Me Like Bees on December 5th at the Warehouse on Broadway in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, come hang out with us. You're right here. Why not? You live in the
You're not
town.
Alone in the universe.
We'll buy you a drink.
That was a fun voicemail.
Thank you for that very, very nice voicemail.
Thank you. We love you too.
Keep trying to spread the word. We all do our best.
I just got someone at work to do it. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing a good job regardless of whether those dummies are able to read or not.
Hey, not everyone deserves the gospel of Pierce Brown.
Oh, space. Oh.
Oh, space. Oh. Murdering thousands of people in space. Oh. Pulls up butts.
All right. Our next email is from Jim.
Jim.
He says, "Low Howlers, I'm sure someone has suggested this, but I am watching Arcane, and that feels like the only way to do Red Rising on the screen. There's no way to get actors who are good and look like the description and are the correct size of the characters. I'd rather that than a bunch of CGI people interacting with live actors. Thoughts?"
I agree. I love Arcane.
Arcane is very cool. I do love the animation style.
This isn't a spoiler if you haven't seen it, but there's a scene where people are flying around and I thought, this is so Howlers.
Yeah, there's a lot of Red Rising-ish stuff going on. More like steampunk Red Rising.
Steampunk.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it reminds me of, like Sevro. And
yeah.
Like grungy Howlers.
And I do think it would look rad, and I get why people want an animated Red Rising series.
I think it's safer for me to not hate it.
I agree. It probably would be better. But this is my but. It just lowers the ceiling on the appeal of
For
Red
others.
Rising.
Or like how big it can get.
Yes. It lowers the ceiling of how big it can get to me. If you do a big live action and it's done decently well.
Like a Game of Thrones.
Yes. I mean, well, that's, I think Red Rising has the potential to be Game of Thrones level.
But without like changing
I think it's
any.
Capable of that. I think that's a very narrow pathway to get through.
Sure.
But I think it's worth trying to me.
Full disclosure, no matter what happens, I will like it because I like everything in this universe. But I think Jim's right where you can make the characters look more like what we probably picture in our heads from what's written. The problem with Arcane and any animated series is how long it takes to make too, I guess.
Yes.
That's the same with live action.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays with live action, 3 years between fucking House of the Dragons seasons.
That was tough.
Like, come on.
That was tough.
Yeah, we still don't have that. So, yeah, I mean, I get the appeal, and I do think it would be cool. And so I understand, like, why people go that route. And I would be down for that if that's what they choose to do.
I'd be so stoked.
But I would rather see it in live action, personally. Just
live action, I'm more nervous. I would hate it because there's been so many, you know, books turn movies that are like, especially when it's fantasy.
You really have to be able to detach. It's like, it's an adaptation of the story that
it's
you
not,
love
yeah,
so much.
Right,
it's not the
sure.
same thing. You can't hold that, you know,
so
kill
you,
your babies.
You disagree with Jim. Jimothy. I agree with Jim.
Jimmy.
What's Jim short for?
I think James.
Oh, right. I think Jimothy.
I like Jimothy.
Your new
better.
Name is Jimothy.
Jimothy, yeah.
I bequeath thee.
Next, we have a voicemail from our friend Cassie P.
Cassie P.
She got a shout out from Madeline. So here you go, Madeline.
Hello, Howlers. Last week, the subprime primes had little to no lines, and only one had a name. This week, the subprime primes for Iron Gold, Dark Age, and Lightbringer have slightly larger presences, whose actions continue to have an outsized impact on the course of the series, and all three also share the unfortunate trait of meeting unexpected ends. So for Iron Gold, Nathan Hale is quoted as saying, "I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country." when Wolfgar unexpectedly gave his one life for the Republic, in that moonlit Luna Garden, it sealed Severo's and Darrow's paths forward as surely as when Cortez burned his ships. Darrow already knew he was stirring up shit for Mustang by leaving, but by killing the Archwarden and the Vox favorite? Well, I'll let Darrow's own words say it. With Wolfgar's death, I ignited a wildfire across the Republic that has shifted popular opinion against the war and my wife. Even incorruptible Caraval raves for my arrest. Not a step back for Comrade Darrow. Wolfgar's death has reverberations down the line to the Day of Red Doves. With their beloved founder killed, the Wardens side with the Vox and turn traitors to the Senate. On the Obsidian front, while Sephi likely had things in motion already by the time Wolfgar died, Ephraim had wondered if Wolfgar's death was the factor that shifted Sephi into high gear in making the All Tribe a real entity in Sol politics. That's the solar system version of geopolitics. Now for Dark Age, we continue the theme of unexpected deaths with Serafina Al-Ra, who, as Cicero Al-Votan put it, tried to dance with the rail slug. Her last words were, "Gaja, don't be such a..." Her actions in Iron Gold dragged Cassius and Lysander back from the margins and into the center of the fray. The information she retrieved enabled Dido to launch the Rim Coup, which led to Romulus's death. It was against her hosta that Cassius finally fell, leading to Lysander revealing his identity. And of course, last but not least, she provided a much-needed blip of macabre comic relief when she was abruptly severed in twain. For Lightbringer, there were a handful of lackeys to choose from, but the most consequential has to be none other than Lysander's Eskimo brother, Ajax Al Grimmis, who perished in an unexpected defeat when ambushed in a trap set by Thraxa and Victra. If I had been paying attention, his death was all but spelled out when he pissed on Diomedes Al-Ra's cloak and honor. At first glance, the drama between Ajax and Lysander is just a side story, resulting from an ambition and jealousy-fueled inferiority complex Ajax has when it comes to Lysander, which drove him to try to kill Lysander twice on Mercury. Once by leaving him, when Lysander and his troops needed evac, and a second time, more directly, by sending Seneca and his goons, thereby setting off a chain of events that shaped Dark Age and Lightbringer. Being left alone and battered after the second assassination attempt eventually led Lysander to a field of impaled Martians where the Gorgons got him in a net and brought him back to the Fear Knight, which led to the infiltration scheme where he got Glerastes to turn the EMP on Darrow's forces and resulted in the Republic's loss of Mercury. Lysander's isolation in the Ladon also gave Apollonius Al Valii Wrath an end, which then gave Lysander an alternative way to play the game of morning chairs in Lightbringer. Along with the Minotaur, Al-Votam, Al-Karthiar, and the Rim faction, Ajax's change of heart brought Lysander the heft he needed to thrive in Atalantia's societal court. Ajax's skeletal redemption arc leads to an off-screen, but very much on-camera, beheading and bodily desecration that invoked the Trojan hero Hector's death from the Iliad. Of course, Lysander recovers all of Ajax's body parts. After all, Ajax had said to Lysander, "We're family now, you and I." And family means Ohana, and Ben knows very well by now that Ohana means no body part gets left behind. Those are my picks for the second half of the series, Wolfgar, Serafina, and Ajax. But I want to conclude with one little tangent on Lysander. When he bends the knee to Atalantia during his triumph at the end of Dark Age, that was just a fancier and less sincere declaration of, "She is our conqueror!" And that's it for me this time. Hecus lupus, motherfuckers! Oh!
She is our conqueror!
Cassie P hit the line so well.
I love that. Fuck Lysander.
What do you think about her subprime characters? She picked Wolfgar,
yep,
Serafina, and Ajax for the second series.
I think those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, high impact characters.
High impact, big deaths.
Yeah. For all three, yeah. I didn't even
think,
yeah.
Like, whoa, fuck, yes. Ah! Those kind of deaths.
Definitely. Yeah. All three of them were kind of surprises.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ajax, I guess you could see coming a little bit, but even then, you're kind of surprised that he gets taken out by Victra.
They right.
Seemed like
off screen, too.
Yeah, bigger stuff for him.
What did you think?
I
Do
loved
you have
it.
Any subprimes?
I'm trying to think. I really liked Kyber from Lightbringer. I feel like.
Remind me who
that is. That's. Lysander's like gray weird bodyguard person.
Oh, okay.
That's
yes,
doing
yes.
all kinds of sneaky shit.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I feel like Kyber's gonna have. They're like gonna be a real nuisance in, yeah. in Red God. Protecting Lysander and just like their loyalty,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're you know I think there's some rumors out there that. There's some subtext to Kyber maybe being a traitor of some sort, so or like part of the Rising.
We don't know who all is gonna not like the whole murdering an entire color thing.
Yeah, that is kind of a wild card to play.
We don't know who might not like that.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Good luck, Lysander. Good luck.
Next up, I want to read a list that was a comment on one of our YouTube pages. Okay. Someone gave us their top five, and this is Shooketh.
Yeah. You are shooketh after reading it? Yeah.
But this is by at Omnisphere Ragnar. So, number one, Ephraim.
Okay.
Two, Ragnar. So, kay. I figured Ragnar would be up there.
I like the boldness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three, Lysander.
That's a problem.
Four, Virginia. Five, Darrow. It's like the most crazy list.
That is. All over the place. I love that.
I mean, I love Ephraim and Ragnar at the top. I don't love number three.
Lysander number three is a hot.
But he is a great book character.
He is.
You know.
Controversial.
I know people where he's number one. So, you know, we take all types here.
Yeah. He's and, hard to yeah. like, but I guess it comes down to what's your criteria for most prime.
But did you notice?
That's a personal thing.
No Cassius.
No Cassius.
No Severo.
That's fine. I carry the torch for Cassius.
Oh, okay.
I don't need anybody else to do it
right.
for me, you know?
So, thank you.
I enjoy it when people do.
Yes.
But I'm very secure.
You're secure that Cassius is beloved.
Yeah, and is the best character, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, what do we got next? Okay, we have another YouTube comment.
Let's hear it.
This is from at karma121983. It says, Goblin at 10, Ben, don't be a pixie. I agree.
Isn't there more to that comment? I feel like
oh,
we
yeah.
know
Sorry.
That person.
Your art buddy would love to get a copy of those special editions yeah. with that sweet art.
I'm pretty sure it's Miles. Yeah.
You think this is Miles?
Oh, I know it's Miles. Oh. Yeah.
I'm an old. I don't know how to. Oh, it is Miles. Like, how do I see who people are on YouTube? That's hilarious.
That
was
okay.
like a sleeper bot.
Next, we've got an email from our Hallow friend Nate from Denver. Nate said he's very much like Aaron. He created a list, a criteria, and then a spreadsheet, and then ranked all his people based on his criteria.
The amount of characters you have to go through, it kind of warrants it. I think
his criteria was importance to the story, physical badassness, mental badassness, likability, number of books mentioned in.
Ah, that's a good one.
So he gave us his full top 25. I'm just going to give you his top 10. Romulus.
Are you at 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 9 is Holiday, Lysander, Apollonius, Diomedes at number 6, Victor at 5, Severo, Cassius, Mustang, Darrow.
Nice. I like that list.
It's a pretty solid list.
It's a good list.
Yeah. Good job, Nate. I like your criteria.
Yeah. Number of books mentioned is good because that cuts out some of the like big impact, less time, and badassness.
Badassness.
Thank you, Nate.
You got to account for that.
Okay, we have a comment from Samantha about Lyria giving up Figment. Mm. So I'll give the TLDR first. Lyria getting rid of Figment was the right choice.
Damn right, Samantha.
So, now I'll dig
in. Thanks to be on the right side of history.
Yes. I thought you'd like if I read this. I believe that both things about Lyria and Figmentum are true. I think... Figmentum. I think Pierce is great at writing in a million threads that he can pull on, and if something doesn't work, there's a better path. He snips the thread. But even if this is the case, I truly believe Lyria giving up the Figment is so incredibly crucial. Just by being Lyria, this little red that can hide often goes unseen even when she isn't trying to hide, and let's be honest, is an adorable little gossip that does such big things. Though I think more than anything, I appreciate her so much for being the catalyst in every situation that finally brought Darrow, Severo, and Cassius back together. She accidentally tells Severo about Ulysses, which makes him go with Darrow. Then she spills this while drinking with Cassius, which comes out in an argument and finally lets them beat the shit out of each other so that they can then move on to forgiveness. Lightbringer is such a beautiful book. So without Lyria, its story does not exist. There you go.
Thank you, Samantha.
One tally for Ben. Lyria giving up Figment.
She's so smart.
Nice.
We've got one more email here from our friend Matthias in Denmark.
Nice.
Matthias told us he's a big fan of Red Rising and podcast.
Thank you.
Some very nice things, so we really appreciate you listening. But his main point is he especially loves all the different takes on themes of music and like what characters would be listening to, kind of stuff that we used to talk about a lot. And
didn't Pierce release a whole playlist?
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of playlists, Matthias has a playlist that he wanted to recommend. Nice. So he's a musical man himself, and he's totally in favor
of... He's a what? He's a musical man.
I don't know what's going on.
I thought you were going to start singing with me. I was like, it's finally happening.
He is a musical man, and he said he's in favor of us writing the Red Rising musical.
TM.
So it's another check for us. Thank you. He said, I'm not totally sure if I agree on the metal genre being perfect for Darrow. I always imagine epic music scores instead when reading. I want to therefore recommend my own playlist, The Ultimate Epics for Andrea, Act 1 by Matthias Bro Jorgensen. It's a lot of
Jorgensen.
It's a lot of epic stuff. A lot of film scores showing all the ups and downs, all the sorrow and all the chaotic shit that can happen to a character like Darrow and to the other characters throughout the series for that matter. There's a lot of hopeful scores on the list, but I think we need that in this dark universe that is Red Rising. And being music without lyrics is also a great playlist to read to.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can't read with lyrics.
Yeah. I'll link...
I do my, like, chill beats.
I'll link that playlist in the description of the episode for you guys so you can check it out. And then he ends with, P.S. I'm completely on Team Aaron. It has to end on a happy note. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm probably going to shit in my suit. Maybe
yes.
Pierce Brown's suit.
Let's all do it.
Thank you for the very kind email. And like I said,
playlist.
Yeah, I'll link that playlist. I'm excited to listen to that. I love a film score.
I love a playlist without words so yes. I can either read or work while I'm listening. Yeah. I do chill lo-fi study beats mostly.
Yeah. You've also completely lost the ability to concentrate on anything for periods of time. Yeah, me too. I also need lo-fi beats to do anything.
For my brain to shut the fuck up. Yeah. No, this will be helpful.
All right, let's round this thing out with some YouTube comments. What else we got?
Let's do it. This is one of my favorite ones. It says, Justin Timberlake, it's Darrow in a box. So I like that one. That's by John. Thanks, John. All right. Next up, we have Crystal gave us their list. Crystal said, first, Ben, why do you hate Severo and Holiday? You hate all of Aaron's favorites. She's going to put you in the wolf and burn you up.
Oh no.
I like the threats. I like this culture of threats. So top five for Crystal, Darrow. I don't do it the right way. I go first.
Okay.
Number one, Darrow.
Okay.
Number one, Darrow. Two, Sevro. Three, Victra. Four, Cassius. Five, Mustang. So those really are like the prime five. You know. I mean,
sure.
If I could only have five people at dinner with me, it'd probably be them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will say putting Sevro at 10 was maybe not the right call.
Just for optics. Yeah. Just because everyone hates you now.
But, you know, we'll go back. We'll regroup. I might do that differently. Yeah.
I just saw Crystal commented on her post, said, "Wait, Ragnar, my list is ruined." I know.
It's so hard.
You can't just pick five.
It's a way harder exercise when you start doing it than you think.
And you're going to change your mind every time. Okay, next up, we have some theories, maybe future predictions from our friend Daniel.
I think this is on the video where we were talking about if there's going to be new baddies in the final book or whether we have enough baddies because we lost a lot in Lightbringer.
Okay. Daniel says, with Ajax gone, Apple is the primary big baddie. We still... Ooh. Apple is a big baddie.
Total baddie.
My favorite baddie. We still haven't really seen Diomedes in action. I don't doubt his skills, but he needs to go against another apex predator. Not at all mad about it, but we sort of didn't see the full Hangar 17B duel. I bet Brown is saving this one for the end. At least I hope. He owes us for that after the hangar. My theory about introducing more villains at this point is that it would be counterproductive to the pacing. We still have a huge loose end with Abomination. Right.
Yep.
Where the fuck is he?
Yeah.
Being a little twat. Very curious. Sorry, that was me. That wasn't Daniel. Very curious how that will go, but that isn't to say there won't be enemies.
Right. Yeah, it'll just be interesting. I wonder if there's going to be like an introduction of like, you know... like not a lot of character build, but like more of just like a stone cold bruiser type, like, you know, like James Bond movies. The bad guy always has like a henchman that has no character development, but it's always
maybe
like
it's Kyber.
Very scary. Yeah, it could be like I don't know.
Someone we already know.
It just seems like there's not. If we're gonna have duels, like I don't think Darrow's gonna have a duel to end things. It's got to be like some who's or is he going to fight Apple? The only person he can duel is Apple.
See, all these questions is why it's so hard to finish.
And
this
then
book.
Like, what
There's
do you
so
have?
Many questions.
What do you have Diomedes do at that point? Who's Diomedes dueling?
Right. Maybe back to back duel.
Yeah.
Maybe we put everyone in a room and we do like WWE Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble. Hell yeah. There we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have to do Apple and Darrow. They have to
finish what they
yeah, what happened on Venus.
Yeah.
And then
found you.
Pierce has also hinted that we will see Diomedes in Full Metal Diomedes.
Okay.
But I don't know how they're going to accomplish that other than if he's just kind of like ripping up faceless baddies, you know.
Yeah.
Which can be a thing. It could be cool. But
and the whole book can't just be duels.
Right.
So, at some point, we need to like stop fighting you know and turn a corner.
I'm going to leave this one to Pierce. Probably let him figure it out. Yep. I think he's pretty qualified. It's
probably a good idea. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Howlers.
This
for,
has been a mailbag.
Yeah. Thanks for...
We'll have one again in the future if you want to keep sending in shit. Yep. If you're just like... have a thought one day like, oh, whatever happened to, you know, Glorastes? No, we know that one. I was trying to think of a random person. Or
we're here for all your Red Rising
musings.
Yeah, thoughts,
random thoughts, you know,
we want to hear them. So we appreciate everyone that wrote in, called in,
commented
on the YouTube,
subscribed.
We are still running the contest for
this is the last episode
amazing Red Rising slipcase deluxe edition, so you still have time to go subscribe and comment on one of our YouTube videos, and we from the Prime 25
series.
From the Prime 25, and we're
going to put them in a generator,
and then we will announce it on the
randomly
next
select
episode. So that one will probably be in a couple weeks. We'll see. Aaron's going to Europe, so
I'm going to see Matthias in Denmark.
Yeah.
Be there soon.
Yeah, by the time you listen to this episode, Aaron will be knocking on your door.
Like, do you have a futon? Nice.
So when she gets back, we will announce a contest winner. We'll record a new episode, and then we'll send that bad boy out before the holidays.
Hell yeah.
All right, Aaron. You know what it's time for?
What are we into this week?
Aaron, what are you into?
I am on book two of a book series, but I really like the first book, recommended by Crossland Shaw.
From the Words and Whiskey podcast. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Cross. Sorry.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
It's called Empire of Silence. It's the Star Eater? What series?
Sun Eater. Right?
Sun Eater.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. By Christopher Rucchio. It was really good.
What's the vibes?
It's very high science fiction, like very space.
Like Dune-y?
I think it's more like, it's not quite like Bobiverse or what the fuck? The Mars guy. Not Project Hail Mary, but the other one.
The Martian?
The Martian. It's not quite that like science, but it's very space. This is a great description.
Less fantasy, more science.
But still high fantasy.
Oh, okay.
Not as fast paced as Red Rising or like action packed.
So we're in a fantasy world.
Just very fantasy.
But
it's good.
It's more hard sci-fi.
It's kind of, for me, like a comfort fantasy. I don't know. But I just started reading book two.
What do you like about it?
It's a good story. Good world building. We're in the future, maybe. Oh. We're living for 600 years.
Oh, wow.
Only if you're rich.
Humans are?
Humans. Well,
nice.
The ones, you know, not naturally born.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I'm liking book two so far as well. And it's on Libby. Full free.
Sick.
What are you into, Ben?
I've got a tough choice here.
Yeah. Do you want? We could both be into Begonia.
We did go see Begonia together.
I was into it until towards the end. It was like it got a little bloody.
It's pretty wild. This is a new movie.
Yeah.
Starring Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons.
You gotta fucking love Jesse and Emma. I mean, Jesse's like one of the best actors in every movie. And then Emma's so cool.
she's a powerhouse.
She's awesome.
Yorgos Lanthimos. He did like The Favorite.
What else did he do? What's the other?
He did Lobster. He did more recently.
What's the Mark Ruffalo one?
Poor Things.
Poor Things. Yes. It's a lot like Poor Things.
It's pretty weird.
Bloodier.
Yes. So it's about
spoilers.
Like a guy that's, you know, deep into conspiracies who kidnaps a really rich lady played by Emma Stone because he thinks that she is an alien.
And there's a lot of like really funny like corporate speak.
Yeah. So and it's like really kind of a two piece between Jesse Plemons and Emma Stone. It's a lot of back and forth, like kind of tit for tat with Emma and Jesse Plemons. Going back and forth as he kind of holds her after he's kidnapped her. I won't get in too much into the story other than that, because
I would say though, read the trigger warnings if you have trauma.
Yes, there is. Yes.
There's stuff. Even at the beginning, there's like stuff throughout where you're kind of like, ooh.
Yeah. But a really great satire on our current world and the internet as a whole.
And conspiracy theorists such as ourselves.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Yeah, deep in the conspiracy corner.
Yeah, they talk about Holiday being a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a big Red Rising guy. Yeah. Lots of great theories. Anyway, definitely worth checking out. Yorgos Lanthimos makes fantastic movies. I think they're always really interesting, whether I like love them every time or not. They're always like,
you're never bored.
Yes, you're always enraptured.
You're never looking at your phone.
Once again, my girlfriend that falls asleep at every movie that we ever go to was locked in and watched the entire movie. So
and she was like, as was I.
So yeah, it was yeah. It was really good.
It's fast paced too. It's yeah. 2 hours.
And then
what are you in
separately?
What, if you get two, I get two.
Okay. I've also been reading.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I've been doing some Stephen Kinging, and read the whole Mr. Mercedes trilogy, which is like Stephen King's first foray into hard, like crime novels.
Okay.
More like less supernatural, more crime. Like true crime type stuff.
Nice.
And he did this probably like 10 or 15 years ago. And it is a really good series. I would say the first and second books I liked a lot more than the third. But they're all really good. They all read really quick. Good fast pace. Like mystery. Following a detective who's trying to like get to the bottom of this and prevent a tragedy type thing. And then always with Stephen King, you know, there's the evil lurking in your everyday life mm-hmm. that you don't know about, and he's great at pulling that out. So
is it scary?
Not really.
Cool.
No, I mean it's like if there's some dark parts and like yeah some bad stuff, like some Stephen King kind of like evil type stuff, but never really scary, but like tense and just like a good page turner. Really, like I listened to the second one in like a week and like 3 or 4 sessions, like seriously 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Nice. I was your audiobook going. It?
Yeah.
Your audiobooking kinging.
Yep. Yep. So great audiobooks too. They were, I think the narrator is named Will Patton, he's an actor. The thing I remembered him from was like he's the other coach in Remember the Titans. And not Denzel Washington.
Okay.
And then he's in Armageddon too. He's like one of the minors.
I rewatched that.
He's like a that guy. If you saw him, you'd be you like, him, I've yeah. seen him in a bunch of movies, but he does a really good job with the narration.
I rewatched Armageddon on like a plane.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is the dumbest fucking movie. Dude. It's so good.
I loved that movie I cried in the movie theater.
All
when
the
I saw
like
that.
Things that happen yeah. to like make any of it happen is like so unbelievable.
I was like nine years old sobbing in the theater watching that one. So
you try to rewatch it. It's bad.
I would love to. That's like a Fast and Furious style movie yeah. at this point. Yeah.
At this point.
Like I could have a lot of fun with that. Did you have another one?
I had another one.
Okay, let's hear
this
it.
This is older. I just discovered it, though, on streaming. It came out in 2022, but it's called Am I Okay? And it has Dakota Johnson in it.
I've seen the splash pit or like the poster.
Yeah, she's
for
like
that.
Crying yeah, with bangs.
It is very interesting.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay. I like Dakota Johnson a lot.
Yeah, it's a rom-com. I don't know. I think Amanda would love it, too.
Yeah.
It might be more for women, but... yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
Did you watch The Materialist?
No.
With Pedro?
Uh-uh, not yet.
It was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like Pedro. He's daddy. I hadn't said daddy this whole episode, so I like had to...
No, you said a lot earlier.
It was last week.
No. Nope, you talked about Apollonius. Called him daddy several times.
That was last time. Okay, so we're into a lot. We had to catch up.
Yeah.
All cool. Right. Okay, well, thanks, Miles, for the episode art, as always. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, email howlerpod@gmail.com, voicemail 1-800-516-1540.
You're so good.
Who is
podcast people have no idea what's happening
middle
right now.
School cheerleader.
Aaron did a hand jive. I don't know.
No, it's like.
Yeah, it looks like a hand
jive. No, it's
jive.
Like that. And rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then we won't call you daddy.
Mm-mm.
So.
All right. Thanks, Hellers.
Omnis for your lupus.
Ow! Ow!